The book of Galatians, we'll go to 3. Somebody can read that one for me. And I think I'm just going to stay tight to some of my old notes here today. And we're just going to have an old-fashioned Bible study. Amen?
Amen.
I think what I'll call this is after Calvary comes Pentecost. After Calvary comes Pentecost. Well, somebody want to read that first passage for me so I don't have to go there right away? Galatians, we're going to Galatians 3, I think it's 14. You get there. You give me time to get there. There we go. 3:14. And would you stand for the reading of the word today?
Blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Let's read it one more time together. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You can be seated this morning. Father God, in Jesus' name, Father God, I just pray, Lord God, that in the remainder of this service, Lord God, and as we break bread in fellowship today, that you would be richly amongst us, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit, Father, would come and move us, Lord. We'd be drawn to you and to your wish, Father God, and your promise and your gift for us, Lord God. We thank you for the precious gifts from heaven, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. If you want to go to the book of Acts with me next, Chapter 8. Praise God. And we put all the scriptures right up here for you, so I want you to be able to follow along. This is after Stephen's death as the first martyr. And this also showcases one of the deacons, one of the deacons in the church. Stephen was the first martyr. He was a deacon. And now Philip is going to move into Samaria. We'll pick up in verse 4. When you're at 8:4, say amen.
Amen.
We'll just go ahead and read this together. We see why Stephen had to die, and it's answered in verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many were taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. And there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. See, they put it on a man right away. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. That means in water. Both men and women. So Samaria has received, they have believed, they believed the preaching of Philip in verse 12 in the name of Jesus, and they've been baptized in water, men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. In other words, there were signs and wonders that were following this deacon, not apostle. Deacon, not apostle. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, you might want to underline that, they sent unto them Peter and John, who were apostles, who, when they were come down unto Samaria, that is, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Question to every single one in this room. Aren't they already in 11 believing the preaching, and 12 preaching the kingdom, and aren't they already water baptized?
Yeah.
In verse 12. Yes, amen?
Yes.
Okay, so the apostles have seen this, and now they say, they send down word from the mother church, which is Jerusalem, that they might come down for this purpose and pray for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Is that true?
Amen.
16. Let's read it together. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. 17. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Interesting. Go to Acts 19. Let's just hit it all. here's Apollos. He's there in about 25. 1825, this mighty man of God. I believe he was, well, let's just read it. Mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. In verse 24, he was instructed in the way of the Lord. He was fervent in the spirit. Fervent means on fire, red hot. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He had heard about John's baptism, and this is what he was so fervent about. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom Aquila and Priscilla had heard. Aquila and Priscilla were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, by the way. And they hear this guy now preaching with fire, fervent in the spirit. And they took unto him, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Okay? Aquila and Priscilla, who were in that upper room on the day of Pentecost, grabbed this brother in the Lord, and they expressed unto him the ways of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. There you have the story of Apollos. Now Apollos is going to start moving out with the original 120. But let's go now here to Paul's third missionary journey, starting in verse 19, and we'll read the first six verses, and then we'll preach a little bit today. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. Everybody say disciples.
Disciples.
He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And that's what I want to ask everybody in this room. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Well, let's explain that. Then said Paul, John verily, or truly, baptized with the baptism of repentance. That was the message. You need to repent and turn towards Jesus Christ, right? Yeah. Saying unto the people that they should believe on him which would come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. So John the Baptist pointed everybody to Jesus Christ and repentance. And the second they put their faith on the one who would come, the Messiah, the one that was Jesus Christ, and repented, they became born again. Amen?
Amen.
They became followers, and they were disciples. Noted in verse 1 that they were finding certain disciples. Those are church people or discipled people, knowing the baptism of John, which pointed them to Christ. Now, verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized. Now they heard this. They heard Paul talking about Jesus and the cross and the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. How Jesus wasn't just coming, he has come. And he did exactly what he did, and the stone was rolled away from the tomb. And in 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus in water. Okay? They were baptized in water. They had become New Covenant, New Testament, disciples of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Not just hearing of John the Baptist's message, but now they've heard Paul the Apostle's message on top of that, which just added more truth to the validity of John the Baptist. 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, The Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Go to Acts 10 real quick. Just go back. Now that's the upper coast of Ephesus. We've looked at Samaria. Let's go to the first Gentile convert, because we read in the first scripture in Galatians 3:14 that the promise of that was given to Abraham way back in the book of Genesis, that this power of the Spirit, the promise of the Spirit, would be given to the Gentiles. The Gentiles are a non-Jewish people. Everybody know that?
Yes.
That this power of the Spirit, you're going to see it enacted right here and now. Go to Acts chapter 10. You're going to see this. Praise God. We'll pick up there in verse 44. Peter is speaking to these people. He's preaching a message. He goes to Cornelius. He's coming to the first Gentile family, non-Jewish family. And in 44, while Peter yet spake these things, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, that as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Church, what was the evidence? Let's read the next verse. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. And if you jump down to 11, 15 and 16, while you're right there, Paul explains what happens again. He says, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. The Holy Spirit fell on this Gentile people just like it did on us at the beginning. What is he referring to? The day of Pentecost. Just like it fell on the Gentiles, just like it fell on us in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Can you believe this? And remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now let's go to the book of Luke for just a second. Luke 3:16. If you're an unsaved person, John 3:16 is the most important scripture that you need to know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But if you're in the church and you're saved this morning, Luke 3:16 is the most important scripture that you need to know. And I'm preaching not to the lost this morning, I pray, but to the church. Amen? Amen. So Luke 3:16 today in the house of God. And I hope you guys don't mind opening your Bibles and recording things. Let's read it together. John 3:16. John answered, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water. That was unto repentance. We just read that. But one mightier than I cometh, whose latcheth of whose shoes I am not worthy to loose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Go to verse 21. This is the baptism of the person that we follow, Jesus Christ. Now, if Jesus Christ is not the example, we need to look to another. But if he is the example, let's look at these scriptures. 21. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized in water and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased. My God. Jesus received the baptism from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice spoke, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. Are you seeing something here? Are you seeing any kind of a pattern here? Let's go to Luke That was Luke 24:49. Let's go there now. I'm telling you, this is just what the Lord had for me to say today. It's interesting, and I want to give you some background to this. Everywhere I'm going, I sat down at the Franklin Graham table that night, and I talked to some guys from Blair, and they were talking to me about the Holy Spirit and the things that they were seeing and feeling, and this man was in prison, and he said, I saw a pastor come in there. He had a Bible under his arm, and he spoke about being Spirit-filled, filled with the Holy Spirit to me that day. And when he came into the jail, he was literally glowing. Yeah. And this guy's telling me his testimony. He said, I've never seen anything like that before in my life. But this man not only brought the Bible under his arm, he was glowing. This stood out to him. Well, for the rest of the night, I started to preach along some of these lines and share some of these scriptures with the people that I was sitting at in this table. And I tell you what, it was wide-eyed. But the thing is, church, I want you to know, Adam, you're not in Kansas anymore. Okay? This is revelation knowledge. This is revelation knowledge to this region up here. I'm telling you that. We're not in Texas, Teresa. We're not in Texas. This is revelation, because I could tell you they had never, you know what I'm saying? Right. And I know that one of the callings on my life, brothers and sisters in Christ, is to bring the message of Pentecost to this region. That's one of the callings on my life. Now look at 24:49. Now the famous last words of anybody are important. But when Jesus Christ speaks, we better prick our ears back. Amen? Amen. In Luke 24, after he shows himself to the apostles and to his dear disciples, he begins to tell them right before the ascension. And in 45, he opens up their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said in 47 that repentance and remission of sins would be preached in his name among the nations, all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. I want you guys to know and note in 49, I send the promise of my Father upon you. What was the promise of the Father? Now he's speaking this to more than 500 brethren, according to 1 Corinthians 15:6, and yet 120 of them found their way to an upper room. We have that number in the book of Acts. 120 of them find their way into an upper room. And so what that says is that 380 thought the cost was too great. They didn't end up in the upper room. But we're going to go to the upper room. Amen? Let's go to Acts chapter 1 real quick here. Now remember, Jesus is saying, now look at this, I need to say this before we leave this place. Behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power. And in the next few verses it says that Jesus was, as they worshipped and returned, Jesus filled with great joy, and Jesus ascended up into heaven. The ascension of Jesus Christ. Those were the last written words in red of Jesus Christ. So go to the book of Acts chapter 1. I told you this would be more of a Bible study. Is that all right? Okay. Praise God. Acts chapter 1. Verse 1. The former treatise I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do and teach. Until the day in which he was taken up, we just read that. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Commandments. Everybody say commandments.
Commandments.
Okay. To whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them, say commanded them, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard from me. Remember, this is all Jesus began to both do and teach. Verse 1. You've heard this from me. 5. For John truly baptized with water unto repentance. Everybody, you guys, we've made that clear. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Do you see it? In verse 8, just for sake of time, But ye shall receive power, dunamis, after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, that was Philip, and unto the uttermost part of the earth, that was Cornelius. And it had already fallen. It was about to fall in Jerusalem in the next chapter. My message this morning is, after Calvary comes Pentecost. After Calvary came Pentecost. I'm quoting nobody but Jesus Christ and John the Baptist and Paul the Apostle. Amen?
Amen.
I could quote nobody but the prophet Joel and the prophet Isaiah that spoke about this moment, this thing. But I want you guys to know that it didn't just happen historically to a few people on the day of Pentecost, 120 in an upper room, but it has happened then, and it has happened now, and is happening today. Amen?
Amen?
And what I want you guys to know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, this experience, this thing in your life after Calvary, there needs to be a Pentecost. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. There needs to be a move of the Holy Spirit in you. There needs to be a move of the Spirit. Jesus set up the terms. Jesus was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Do you remember that? That was a miracle, right? An angel overshadowed Mary, and what was conceived in him was that of the Holy Spirit. So he was birthed of the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Spirit. Would you agree to that?
Amen.
Holy Spirit overshadowed him and birthed Christ to be in him. But his ministry didn't begin until he was in the River Jordan with John, and he was baptized in the Holy Spirit descending on him bodily in the shape of a dove. But now he tells the people that are going to follow him, his present day disciples at this time, they had seen the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now go to the book of John real quick with me, or somebody go there, John 20, 22. He appears in that room. He didn't have to open the door. He walked through the wall. He walked through the wall. And now the disciples, even Thomas, who had been doubting for a long time, he said, unless I see the nail-pierced hands and you stick that hand in his side, I will not believe. So Jesus just walks into his unbelief, and he's walking up to your unbelief today, right? And he's just saying, "Go, here I am. Here I am. I did it. I accomplished it all. I did it. Amen. Praise God." And he said, now that you've seen my death, burial, and you see me resurrected, and you believe it, he said this, receive you the Holy Ghost. And the next verse, it says he back up, and he breathed on them. He breathed. He went, can you see that? He breathed on them. Brother, that's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
By faith, brother,
yeah.
That the gift, that what God told Abraham was going to come on the Gentiles, right?
Yeah.
The promise of the Spirit by faith.
Yeah.
And they believed now. They could see Jesus, and they received the breath of God. And it came right into them.
That's the picture of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is the wind. The breath of God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But the same Jesus and John the Baptist, they've also said, now disciples, you are born again. To be born again is the greatest miracle that there ever could be, for you to repent of your sins and get right with God, and for the blood of Jesus and the atonement and the propitiation, and the whole reason Jesus went to the cross was to deal with your sin once and for all and to pay the sin debt. Amen. That we might be free and the shackles would fall off. And my God, he's done that. He did it. He said, it is finished. And he paid the debt in full. Amen. For all of our past, present, and future sins, as long as we go to him by faith, confessing it, all of our troubles, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Amen. But he also left us something that I see almost the entirety of the church realm has forgotten. And it's what I'm preaching to you today. And what I'm telling you is this, 9 out of 10 people, probably 90% of the Christians that I come into realms with, that's from Christian radio to everywhere I go preaching the gospel, has not understood this revelation that you get here this morning. And I want to tell you that it matters. Because if you're the vehicle and the vessel, you need gas in the car, okay? And this dunamis that Jesus is talking about is the jet fuel that goes into the car that makes the car work. okay, that gives it the power to be a witness. He said, you'd be a witness unto me. Okay, we haven't even got to that verse yet. In Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. But that, he said, after, the power is going to come upon you, and then after that, you'll be a witness. And you guys, I want you guys to know why this is important. This is so important because the baptism of this Holy Spirit or the promise of the Father makes Christ come in you so real and so vital. He'll change you so much. He'll stir you so hard that it will cause you to be a martyr for God.
Yeah.
And I pray to God that what you see standing before you is a martyr for God. And I pray to God that what you witness in your life, when you see somebody preaching the gospel, that they have turned their back upon the world and they are walking in the Spirit, and by faith, there's something here that's happened. Life has changed because they have counted themselves altogether nothing and lost without Jesus, and Jesus is the total gain. Amen?
Amen.
This baptism will cause you to be a martyr. It'll cause you to say, nothing else matters, but Jesus Christ matters the most. Amen? In fact, He's everything. Every other thing doesn't matter, but this matters, and this alone matters. Amen? And what I'm telling you is it'll cause you to be a martyr, is what the Bible says. It'll cause you to change. It changes this little yes, an intellectual assent to what the gospel has said or whatever. That is way, way remotely different from somebody that is just sold out for Jesus Christ, all in. Yes. Are you with me here?
Amen.
Now this is a command of God. I got two commands. Amen. Commanded and commanded by Jesus Christ, commanded. Amen. He is the captain of the ship, commanded. When He says something, we should do it. The Great Commission was His. Amen. We don't question the Great Commission. We do the Great Commission. Amen. Okay, Acts 1:14. All continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Okay. It said that there was 120 of them in verse 15. Chapter 2. Verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a breath. Nope, this is different than the indwelling. This was the indwelling. This is different. Look again in the Scripture. Don't look at anything else but Scripture. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. I was riding home from Newton, Kansas yesterday. I said, Sarah, what the world does cloven mean? So look it up. We'll get in the interlinear and go into the Greek, and let's go to the vines and let's... It means divided out severally to everybody, divided tongues, cloven tongues, caused for power, caused to bring division, divided out, a tongue that would bring division, a tongue that would bring division, divided out severally to everyone, cloven, divided tongue. The fire that would cut through synagogues. It would go through this world. It would be the literal fire. Just pour some gas on the thing, and that's what the dunamis was. And it would cut through this world like a wildfire. It was the Holy Ghost and fire that's keeping us alive. Amen? It's caused the gospel to go everywhere and to be dynamic and powerful. It's causing people to be convicted of sin and to repent and then to walk in fullness and have the victory that it needs to live the life and overcome every sickness, every disease, every infirmity, every weakness, every addiction, my friend. It causes us to have the power to rise up over those things and to stomp them under our feet. Amen?
Amen.
This is what it was talking about. Praise the name of Jesus. Where was I? The promise had come to these people. Cloven tongues. Amen. That's where I was. Amen. And it appeared unto them, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all emptied. No, they were all filled.
Filled.
These are believers. They're already saved. They were all then filled. Amen?
Amen.
They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak. Uh-oh, they're all going to be martyrs. Look out now. Because they're filled, they're going to be martyrs. Amen? And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. 13. Oh, no, these men, they're mocking them. These men are full of new wine. Peter stands up and he says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the latter days, it's going to come to pass that I'm going to pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters are going to receive this. Amen. Your old men are going to receive this. They're going to dream dreams. Amen. It's going to come upon everybody. In fact, this is going to be the doctrine of the New Testament. Go to Acts 2:38-39. Acts 2:38-39. Hallelujah. But before you get there, go to 33, sister. He says, and this is that. Okay. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, now Jesus has ascended up into heaven. He's been glorified. Here's God, here's Jesus at the right hand, and he's just sat down with the Father. Amen? And now he's totally glorified again. Jesus has received everything that he poured out so he could become humble enough to walk on earth, right? Now he's got all the power again right here because God has exalted him. He's on the right hand, and he says, guess what? Hallelujah. I've got that from my God. I'm going to send that down to earth to my disciples because I told them to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high and wait for the promise of the Spirit. Amen. Wait for the promise of the Spirit blessing. Therefore, being at the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. And Jesus went on the 50 days, which means Pentecost. They've waited 10 days praying in an upper room, tarrying. Here it goes, boom. And a rushing mighty wind went through that place, filled how many of them?
Oh, 120.
Well, not everybody gets that gift. And they were all, Mother Mary, the apostles, Doubting Thomas, Aquila, and Priscilla, even they spake in a heavenly language that they couldn't understand. It says all. 38 and 39, let's look at the apostles' doctrine. My goodness. Hallelujah. Then he begins to preach. Now look what's going to happen to the anointing upon people. Peter's getting after it. This Peter that was run off by a little damsel, by a little maid, you know.
Yeah.
Were you with Jesus? No. And he cowered and ran away.
Yeah.
Now, the personality of God is inside of him. Now a person has come deeper inside of them. How many people know the Trinity? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When the personality of the third person of the triune Godhead comes into you, I'm going to tell you, every time I find it in the Bible, it's earmarked with one evidence. Boldness.
Yeah.
Boldness. Jesus calls it power.
Yeah.
Boldness. To wreck fear, to stomp on everything else, to stand up and die a martyr's death in the face of Nero. Amen?
Yeah.
Or any other time that there's ever been a martyr, for a power to stand up within you and to die for your faith, to stand in your community, to stand on your street corner, to stand at the coming county fair, to stand before anybody and preach this gospel, amen, with power that's outside of yourself.
Yes.
Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Church, help me preach. I don't even know where I'm at.
Amen.
Preach it.
38. 37, and now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said, dear God, pricked, they were convicted of sin, amen?
Yeah.
The anointing of the Holy Spirit produces conviction of sin. And they said, what must I do to be saved? And he says, repent. Here's the repentance. Let's get it right. Let's get them born again, amen?
Yeah.
Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift is coming. For the promise is unto you who are listening, who are pricked in the heart, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Church, do you see that? It didn't stop. It didn't cease to exist. It's to you, your children, your children's children, as many as are called, as many as are ever born again.
are called to receive the Spirit baptism or the gift of the Holy Spirit, and what was promised to the father of the faith, Abraham, came down through Joel, came down through Isaiah, came down through John the Baptist ministry, came down on Jesus, hallelujah, in the River Jordan. It descended upon him. Now it descended upon the disciples. It went to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. It received Cornelius's family. Samaria got it. And guess what? What it's saying is it's going to go further and farther. It's going to get to West Point, Nebraska, and 25 more people are going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they're going to enter into their own martyrdom, which is going to show them what the death of the cross and death to self really means, but resurrection life and newness of life and power and unction is going to come into them. And guess what? I'm going to send out this guy. I'm going to send out Steve. I'm going to send out Michael. I'm going to send out Paul. I'm going to send out these guys, and they're going to start to turn the world upside down, old school style, just Book of Acts style, just like the Bible said. Amen?
Amen.
That's what he said. Hallelujah. That's exactly right. Praise God. Repent, be baptized, and receive the gift of and the promise of the Holy Ghost. Church, I'm telling you, every New Testament church that was ever born was born under this teaching. You can read Corinthians for yourself and learn of the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and how they're to operate in your church and in mine. Amen? You can read the Bible for yourself and see the call to God's orderly worship. How is it then when you come together? One will have a tongue, one will have an interpretation, one will have this, a psalm, a doctrine, and everything else. And I'm not making anything higher than it ought to be, but I am telling you it's all there in the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
It's all there in the Bible. The Bible's never changed, and it's for us today. And I'm going to tell you, it is so good and it is so needful. And I want you guys to know this. There's an Antichrist today, amen? He's coming up the road. There's a false prophet right now. That false prophet is the world religious system. There's hell about to be unleashed on this earth that you've never seen before. There's deception, so much so that if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. Now, I want to tell you this, and I believe this with all my heart. You need the Spirit's power. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need this gift of the Holy Spirit. You need the promise of the Father. Why? Because he said that he would give you the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of truth in the book of John would lead and guide you into some truth. All truth. All truth, as far as I know, is epitomized in one man who went to a cross and stood there, amen, for us, and said it is finished. All truth is Jesus. If you want to know about Jesus, you have to embrace the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit said this, I'm not going to speak of any other person. I'm not going to take any acclaim on myself. I'm an absolute gentleman. The only reason for the Holy Spirit to be here is to make Jesus Christ real to you. And to the church, and give them the power. And every element of the Spirit and every gifting of the Spirit is not so you can think that you're something because you have a gift. Forget the gifts. It's to make Jesus real to the world around you. Amen. It's to make him come alive. It's to make Jesus manifest. And the Bible says, if I be lifted up, will I draw all men unto me. If Christ be lifted up. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost and every Spirit-filled believer to the fullness walking into this room so that Holy Ghost power comes into our worship, so that our worship moves devils and demons so far out of the realm that when we begin to pray and praise, my gosh, ambushments and fire is coming from heaven. Swords are drawn and devils are killed in the name of Jesus Christ, because the Holy Ghost is upon us now. Amen. And know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that Christ is not just in you, but he needs to be in you to the full.
Amen.
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 You want to know what the niche market of this church is? You want to know why this church is a little tad bit different than anybody other church around here? Because of what I'm preaching today.
Yep.
And if you don't think I believe it, you're crazy. But I'm telling you, I believe what I'm preaching.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
I believe what I'm preaching, and I believe it is the difference maker in all of ministry, because Jesus promised it. He commanded it. He said, go get it. Then guess what? You've got to yield yourself to receive it.
Yeah. Yep.
Jesus wants you to yield your body, your heart, your mouth, your hands, your feet. And I want to tell you why some people have a struggle getting to it. It's for every born-again believer ever created. You need to know that. It's for every born-again believer. This promise of the Father. This anointed preaching. Why don't we have it? I'll give you about 6 reasons today. We think we already have it at regeneration.
We think we've already received it when we got born again. We have the breath, but we may have never received the mighty rushing wind. Okay? We may have a measure. We may have a measure of the Holy Spirit in the vessel, but we may also have a lot of black junk in us. If I crack this open, and I'll let you do it.
Ugh.
Careful now. I got to. You don't even drink that stuff, do you? Craven, you will.
Sure.
Craven will drink anything.
All of it.
Take a big gulp.
Chug it.
Chug that's it. Good. No, that's all I need. Okay. Now, Craven, this is about down to here, right? That's a pretty good gulp. But see, this is black as sin, and it'll kill you. You can clean your toilet with this thing, right? But Jesus said, anybody that thirsts, come unto me. And he says, drink. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke of the Spirit. The problem is, here, hold this a second. Hold this. All right, fine. Joe, this is yours. I stole it from you at your... Just to make sure. Come on up here a second. Here's the problem. I need that other water bottle too, Mary Karis, the full one. Bring the... Here's the deal. And this is what God showed me through fasting and prayer. We all still have the old nature, right?
Amen.
We're still full of the old man. That old man represents that pop can. If you put that pop just about right here so everybody can still see it. Jesus wants to pour. Come up a little higher with it. Jesus wants to pour you so full of the Holy Spirit that it is coming out of your everything. Amen? Bring it down a little bit lower. Now, there's a little bit of room in there because that person just got born again. There's a crack in there. There's a crevice. And guess what? Here it comes. Oh, Jesus, you're praying, dear God, fill me. I've repented a little bit of my sin, I'm telling you, and I'm going to give me some of that. Praise God. I got a little. There we go. Oh, and that felt good. That felt good, and that was a little, woo! I got a little Jesus in me today. Amen? Woo! Got a little Jesus. I got a little skip in my, and now I'm going to, oh, but Monday comes along, and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You know what I mean? And it's gone by Tuesday night, and all of a sudden, you know what? We need a little bit more of that. I'm going to get to Wednesday night for sure, because I know somebody's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Woo! I got a little bit's going to get me through to the end of the week. But we never really get to where God's trying to get us. What God wants us to do, and the reason we have an altar in this church, is go ahead and pour that out. Now be gentle with it. Go ahead and just lift it up a little bit more so they can see it. He wants to get you out of you. Amen. He wants to get the hell out of you. Now hold on. That's good enough. Well, it's not all done yet. Hold on. Go ahead, dump a little more. Go to that altar again. Get back in that altar. Get poured out before God. Crucify the flesh. Let your soul be fasted so that God can pour into you. Now, come on, give me a little bit more of this. He wants to pour this into you, that your cup runneth over. Amen? He wants that cup to totally, totally, totally overrun. And I guarantee you, we're right to the... There you go. Right to the top. But there's more where that came from. There is an ocean like you spoke of. And not only that, he doesn't just want to fill your cup. He wants to stick this cup down deep into the water. Amen? Yeah. So that you're totally submersed and baptized in a realm of the Holy Spirit that you've never even known that it exists. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He wants the emptying of you and the fullness of you. I know that beyond the shadow of a doubt, because the second I fasted my little fanny and my little portly little belly, amen? And I put that thing down for whatever, 5 days or whatever it is, guess what comes up on me? The Holy Ghost anointing. Yeah. To heal the sick, raise the dead, open the blinded eye, cause the lame to walk. And I'm going to tell you, last Sunday morning, I walked into this pulpit, and it was just automatic. It was just a gun. It was just a fire from heaven. Armed and Dangerous came out of that. Amen? That was 2 weeks ago. Then the next week, it's been on me for 2 weeks, and I've been preaching to it. Yes, you may sit down. But church, what I'm saying is,
It's real. It works. And what God said in the Bible is true for every single one of us. And we can walk in this. And Jesus is greatly pleased and glad to find His sons and daughters walking in truth. He, you talk about son. Oh my God, that's my son. My God, He wants a little bit more of me. Oh my gosh, tie yourselves to the horns of the altar. Repent. Get all that junk in the world and the flesh and the TV and the Instagram and Facebook. Put that down there where it belongs. It's going to stain everything. Yeah. Your entertainment, break the word down, enter stain. Taint.
Yes.
All your entertainment is staining, tainting your heart. Amen? Yeah,
amen.
It is. Brothers and sisters, let's bring that into the... No, we don't want to bring that into the church. Let's bring stains. No, let's put the flesh down. Let's put it upon that cross and let the Holy Ghost give us resurrection life and power every day. That's your destiny. It's my destiny. It makes a world of difference in this ministry and every one of your ministries. Jesus has given this gift. He's given a promise. I'm going to show it to you in Scripture. We didn't touch too much of it this morning, but I guarantee it's all there. And if you've experienced it, you know what I'm talking about is real. Listen, there are, I'm trying to close this. We're seeing some goofy things happen. We're seeing Islam grabbing hands with the seeker friendly. We're seeing the charismatic grab hands with the seeker friendly in the Roman Catholic Church. And we're seeing them grab hands with the Muslims. And I'm going to tell you, this is going to get so goofy and so cockeyed in this end time over the thing of love. Yeah. All you need is love. Let's all come together in one strange ecumenical. That's the one world church. It'll be the Antichrist church. It's ready. The players are there. The false prophets are there. And they are spewing out.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to be confused, bewildered, and in the dark on this thing. If you don't have the Holy Spirit down saying, would the real Holy Ghost please stand up in this building? It says everybody outside of the very elect will be deceived. Everyone will. But it will not be us. Why? Not because of me or anything that I am. But it'll be because you have bought into the Word of God. And you've let the Word of God have free course in your life. Acts 5:32 says, the Holy Ghost is given to them that obey me. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I read two commandments to you this morning from Jesus Christ alone. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need the promise of the Father to give unto the Gentiles, because the Gentile age, Brett, is just about up. We need it now.